Away. You be here for the sequel of 2004. I was going to say 24 now. 20 years ago.
Yo.
But a year of big bangers. If you year now, then you possibly listen to episode 1 where we went through our big games. And now there's some more big games that's going to come out. This is the Coughing Controller Podcast. I'm Yasin Bonds.
I'm Saeed.
I'm Shadley.
I'm Brad.
And we're still on the stool.
So we're going to jump right into it. And like what? There were other releases that were also big that happened this year. We don't always talk about it. It's hardware releases. The Nintendo DS and the PSP launched in Japan. Jeez. And that both would be like immensely successful. Just so you know, the DS would become the second highest selling console of all time with 154 million units.
Holy hell.
For context, the PS2 is the highest selling console of all time with 155. So it missed out by matching that record with a million units.
That's crazy.
And it's a handle also.
Yeah. It is. That's pretty nuts.
Wow.
Did you guys have any interaction with a DS or PSP?
So yeah, I
you had a PSP.
Yeah, so my parents went to Makkah.
Of course.
And when your parents go overseas, especially to Makkah, then you
get something.
You get to say. And then I got a PSP. What year was that? I think I got it in 2005, I think I got it.
Yeah, it could have been.
Could have been a year.
Because you got it early. You got it quite early, like into its life cycle.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I didn't know anybody else who had a PSP that time.
And then I don't think I had a game. I think the first game I had was like the demo. And the demo was wild because they like gave you like a sticky of a movie. They gave you, it was all that thing all of stickies. The potential that this thing can do and like stickies of games. And then what was the first game I had? I can't even remember now.
Was it Loco? Loco Roco?
No, that wasn't in the first. That was like later in the sets that I got. I think it was one of those, not game and mouse. What is it? When you play like retro games.
Oh, like those emulator style.
Yeah.
Like Sega, Sega Classics.
One of that. That was the first, because that was the first one that I found and it was cheap. Like for my budget at the time.
Yeah,
because
that was expensive.
Yeah, you also get one game a year at the time.
Yeah, and PSP was expensive.
And then I think soon after that, we learned how to mod it.
Yeah.
Because then Anwar got one. Piracy is fun, okay? When you don't have money, piracy is the only way to go. And then, once we got to mod in the game, it was over for you guys.
Stocks were up. All the games were there.
Then we got into the mix and then it was proper PSP unleashed.
Yeah. Because that was like, I had a DS, but I got a DS like late, only in like 2011. It's over there. And yeah, you can tell why this was like, it's just comfort. It's Nintendo dropping like great titles on a handheld. You know, it was also cheaper than the PSP at the time for like most markets.
Yeah, it just didn't come to, I don't think it was in our country as much, was it?
Well, I got it in our country.
Yeah, we had a lot of it, yeah. Like,
is it?
I remember going to like Musica and Canal, and they would always have the display there, yeah.
Mm. So it was there. I just think people didn't talk about it a lot, yeah.
And also, I think we were also PlayStation first.
Yeah.
We were. So like, the thing is, like, PlayStation was just one of those brands that was always there, always delivered for us. Like, especially, like, in the PS1, PS2 era, you couldn't really find the other consoles here. So, that's why we just trusted Sony.
Yeah, I still haven't to this day played a DS or a PSP or Vita or anything.
Oh, my guy, you are missing.
I really haven't, no.
My guy.
So the Vita is actually one of the consoles I do still want to get because from what I've seen.
I think it's still, fire. Like people are still saying now and like, I watched some YouTube videos last year and they were saying like in 2023, the Vita is still like a must have if you're a Sony fan.
Because you can mod it like really easily and get all the games.
It was like way ahead of its time, they're saying. But yeah, let's get into some games. And so this time we usually do like 10 notable mentions. This time, because the year was so warm, I had to do 25. So these are the notable mentions for 2004. Metroid Prime 2, Ratchet and Clank, Up Your Arsenal, which was 2 or 3. Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater, Warcraft 3, Frozen Throne, which was the expansion, Ninja Gaiden, Sims 2, Pikmin 2, Far Cry, Counter-Strike Source, Doom 3, Knights of the Old Republic 2, Paper Mario, Fable, Legend of Zelda, The Four Swords, Jack 3, Tony Hawk's Underground 2, Def Jam Fight for New York, Prince of Persia, Wario Within, Need for Speed Underground 2, Star Wars Battlefront, SmackDown vs. Raw, Baldur's Gate 2.
The list is too long now.
Spider-Man like 2, EverQuest everything. 2. Done.
You even missed Pokemon Fire Red Leaf Green in that list.
I did. Yeah. But like, this is just...
mad.
Like, these are all goated games.
Yeah.
All of them. So let's jump into Game of the Year. And I think I'm going to start with Saeed. A game that you've been excited...
I can't find my Game of the Year now.
How did you lose it? Saeed, you have a fun one. One that we Nochal didn't mention.
My Game of the Year for 2004 is a game that I only played, I think, for the first time in like 2010 or 2011. I played it quite late, but it's Painkiller.
So good.
So I didn't know until now that like this game actually had like they did like two, I guess, seasons of esports with it also back in the day. So it was made by People Can Fly, who also made like Gears of War, the early Gears of War games. And also they made like the first like Fortnite Save the World, apparently. I didn't know about that.
Wow.
But also they also made another one of my favorite games. Sorry, my phone is ringing.
Yes.
Yeah, the spam callers are crazy.
Unprofessional.
But they also made Bulletstorm, which one of the most underrated games. Such a fun game.
Guys, go play Bulletstorm. Yeah. It's super fun.
But back to Painkiller though. It's like if you ever enjoyed playing a game like Doom, or like I'm wrong in saying it, but because I haven't played enough of Max Payne, but I feel like it's like a middle ground between like Max Payne and Doom. Like, or maybe that's just because his wife is dead. I don't know.
Like, one connection and then like, it's like, yeah, it's like, same thing.
But like the guy looks like he has that like generic like...
Yeah, I get you on that
like FPS that guy picture. Look, and he's wearing like a trench coat. For me, it's like that feels like it.
I'll
but
be honest, no, I haven't played this game at all.
It's fine. I have no idea of it. That's what you're saying.
Heard,
that I'm just like
I've heard a lot of people talk like really highly about this game.
It's really fun. Like I only found out about it because like when I was young, I'm still a fan of him, but when I was younger, I was obsessed with this game reviewer on YouTube, Yahtzee, Zero Punctuation.
Yo, what a time in the week.
I still keep up with his stuff, but he always used to hate games, but he gave Painkiller like such a good review, and he kept speaking about like how fun it is and how amazing it is. And in the game, there's like a gun that shoots lightning.
Yeah.
And then also it shoots like shurikens. So he always used to push that thing of like, all you need to know about the game is a game that shoots shurikens and lightning. There's a gun that shoots it. And that's all you need to know. And then I was like, okay, if he's saying this game is so fun, I have to check it out. That's why I got it so late, because that was the time when I could download it at home.
You were like, and then
I legally bought it at home. And then I played it, and it was really, really fun. And everybody that I gave the game to also came back and said, this feels like, you know, those old games that were just like fun.
Yeah.
And it was... It had moments where it could get a bit like samey, where it's like, okay, I'm mowing down more people here in this graveyard or whatever. And it's like, okay, what next? But like, I think that it had enough where it was a fun time. And I'm considering like going back and trying it now just to see if it holds up like at least some of that fun that it had. But yeah,
I think it still does. I played it, I think it was 2 years ago, I played it again on PC. And I also used to love that game. I think I played it in 2004 when it came out. It was one of those, found it on a, probably a NAG demo or something like that. And then I actually went and bought the game. I've got it just somewhere still, the PC box somewhere, but love that game. And it's very much like almost what Doom has become now. Like it's waves of enemies.
Yeah.
Each gun had two firing modes as well. Oh. So I remember there was one you would hold in the middle mouse button, I think, for like some blade to spin, and you could just walk through people with the blade spinning, or you could shoot, you could make it spin and then shoot the blade at a distance and the blade comes back to you.
Yo.
Like, and like, there was the shotgun and the pistols and everything. Yeah. It was so much fun.
They did like really cool things. Like, it's just a cool, like, the like, you know, when you play a game sometimes and it's like,
it's just fun to play.
Yeah, it's fun and it's cool. Like, the same with like, like Bulletstorm.
Yeah.
Like, it had that same feeling of like, they're just trying something that other people maybe aren't like willing to go for. Yeah. And it's fun.
Yeah, you more invested in like the mechanics of the game and like what you can do with it. So like, that is where like everything gets put into, and people love that. Like, we need more of that in games.
I used to love that gun that shot like the stakes, and you could like pin the people to the walls. And then their bodies would just be hanging on the wall, like wouldn't just disappear. They disappear after a while or something. But I just used to love pinning guys like against the wall. And it's also, it's like Doom as well, in the sense that like,
we need to get out of here.
I'm listening and I'm going like, these are the games that parents warned us about.
Oh yeah.
People genuinely thought these games are going to lead to people to win these games.
And I love the bosses in that game as well. There's like, there was always, you know, it's one of those like, you battle through like five levels and then at the end's a boss, and then you move on to the next chapter. You battle through five levels, then there's a boss. And like, there was always that like threat of that ultimate boss, that huge like giant guy. I remember that the whole time. Such a fun game. And also you're literally in hell. So it's like, dude, it's
battling. So the people were dead already.
Exactly. So you're not,
then it doesn't count, guys.
Yeah. Lovely game.
Yo,
was that your honorable?
Or
your
that was my that game.
Do you have your game yet?
So honorable is Toka 2.
Toka 2?
Yeah, Toka Racing. Toka essentially was the game that was like, think of Gran Turismo, but you could crash the car in terms of like, parts could come off the car when you're racing. That's the other reason why Need for Speed always made me boring, because they were like, if I scratch a car, I want to see a scratch. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see some damage on the car. So Toka 2 was iconic because we used to not play the game, and then someone would be on the opposite end on the straight line and we would just race to see whose car would mess up first.
Oh, yeah.
We would, And then there was also cheats for like fun cars and stuff, which is always fun. I like when games, serious games, allow you to be silly with them.
Yeah.
Give me space for that. And then my game of the year for the sequel of this episode is Bejeweled 2.
You guys know
Bejeweled.
Is this your choice on behalf of like your mom or someone? Like,
for everybody. That's the thing. It's for everybody. Because I say that, I go, but we've all spent hours playing that game. We can all shit on the game of how basic it is, but it's a game that had us all in the clutches of it. Bejeweled 2, spent way too much time playing, procrastinated a lot of my things doing it. And then I also was just like, I feel like I spent a lot of time just locked in a simple, basic-ass fucking game.
Look, yeah.
Bejeweled 2 sits in there next to Peggle. I don't know when Peggle came out. I must do my research on that. But Peggle is another game.
Peggle 2007. I just searched and now goes Peggle. So,
you see, guys, don't shit on me for Bejeweled. Because
hours and hours. Peggle is good.
We have to give a shout out because Bejeweled was done by PopCap Games, who did Peggle and did Plants vs. Zombies. And let's be honest, you wasted way too much time on one of those games. Yeah. Or all of them.
Not all three.
I never liked Plants vs. Zombies. Me neither. I couldn't do it.
I actually got into it like a year or two later. During lockdown, I actually got into Plants vs. Zombies. But
two is horrible, though.
But Bejeweled, trash. You can say what you want. If I give that game to you now, you'll sit for at least 10 minutes without seeing the rest of the world.
I did not foresee you calling like Bejeweled 2. Like, that is a...
I love a basic game. Yeah, I'm basic as fuck. That's the other thing.
No, but it is true. Like, we did spend a lot of time.
It could also play on every machine. Any machine that could play any of these things could give you Bejeweled.
Yeah.
That is true.
And then it also became a family game because, again, my mom and my sisters could all play it and all of us could be in the game. So,
it's basically Candy Crush or so.
Yeah.
It was the start of Candy Crush. Like, that's where
Unmonetized Candy Crush. That's what it was.
It's a once-off. And then then King Games were like, we can make money off this. We can lock everything behind closed doors.
It's ironic now because EA owns PopCap Games and...
they're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And Microsoft owns King.
Yeah.
Which is wild. For my game of the year, I had to include this one of the series, and that's Metal Gear Solid 3. And that's just because, for me, it nailed everything.
That also came out in this year.
Yes. It nailed like storytelling. It was a prequel to the first two, but it like tied up the story of the first two into this and set up the fourth game like really well. So it was like, two was controversial at its time because people were like, the story was a bit convoluted and things like that. But you sort of see like in three, like, the overall story, what's happening. But three
was,
is what...
Was three the one with like 17 hours of video?
No, that's four. That's, four, that's the last one. In that.
Was it 17 hours? Oh, that's like something...
It's a lot.
Is there a ridiculous amount of hours
isn't
of
there like,
watching?
Like a 40-minute cutscene in one of the games? Is it that one?
Yes, that one.
What? Could you pause it?
Yes, you could pause it.
But I don't think you can skip it. Or you could.
You could skip it.
But then also 40 minutes. You also, I feel like you're also wasting your game.
The thing is, you're there for the story. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. So this one was just crazy because it was, they took it out of like the traditional like modern day setting. You in a jungle. You actually had to like do a bit of survival. So there's animals you could hunt for food because that would keep up your stamina. You'd also have like this injury. What do they call it here? There is like this total body injury system.
Yeah,
so like
I remember
if you
that.
Fall from like a height, you can break a leg, then you must splint it. Otherwise your health doesn't recuperate.
Yeah.
That's so technical. And again on the PlayStation 2.
On a PS2.
How's the lighting gonna figure that out?
they gave it all to you like very simply. Yeah. Like the way they did it was there's like an intro mission which serves as a tutorial. So it's very straightforward. And at the end of that, you kind of have to heal up. You get your ass handed to you and they teach you like the system because you left at the bottom of like a river all beat up. So they teach you like these systems.
Yeah. I remember that, yeah.
But the way they implemented it was also like it's not too intrusive. So like you don't just get shot and then it's like you must not do this thing. It was like you actually had to take a pretty serious hit. So you were like encouraged to stealth and like avoid big hits and stuff to avoid doing these things. And yeah, it was just the story was ahead of its time because like I say, it just tied up like Snake's story. And in this one, you play as Big Boss who Snake is cloned from. So you're kind of getting the start of how everything...
Of the big machines, basically.
Of the big machines.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just Hideo Kojima doing like bombastic things but also doing like meta crazy things. There's a sniper boss who's really old in this game, right?
The end or something, wasn't
it? You can kill him before his boss fight and he stays dead. There's a scene where he's like he's basically in a wheelchair and if you shoot him there in his head he dies.
Well, why would
and
you
so
shoot
and he dies
forego the boss battle completely.
Before the boss battle, when you get to where the boss battle is, he's not there. You can just go through the area.
But again, PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
PS2. 20 years ago.
On top of that, because he's old, you can set your clock forward by like a year. Like, so you save the game before the boss, set it forward by a year, go there, he's dead because he died of old
natural
age.
Natural causes.
Yeah.
It's so crazy, like the level of things that they were thinking of and just trying. Like, he was just like, let's just
leak the information.
But I'm convinced that it's Hideo Kojima himself.
He went on a blog and he was like,
he was like,
I heard if you do this.
He was just like going to somebody and be like, if you try this. And then that person tried and he was like, the information is out there.
Go tell your small cousin. Because that's how we're going to do the information.
It was such a liquor game. And I'm going to touch on MGS 2, like already what it was doing. It was like just the interactive environments. You could like shoot bottles. It'll make a sound, distract guards. Guards could add to radio in for backup, so you could shoot the radio out so they couldn't call for backup. But say they called and you shot it, people would still send backup to check on them or if they were patrolling and radioing. And it's just like all that level of detail added.
Was it the first one that or what one added where you had to smoke to calm down?
All of them.
which again was also such a wild thing for...
It's a crazy, like, small detail that it's like, oh, he smokes to calm down, but it takes his life.
Yeah.
So you go, like, it's such a small detail of, like, why people smoke, but they, like, actually took the thought of that and implemented it in the game.
Silly.
It's, yeah, it's still one of my favorite games. It holds up really well. Graphically, it's a little bit in that weird PS2 era, but like it holds up well.
Mm. It's just, I think the game, there were games on PS2 where they tried to go for realistic. Yeah. And those ones didn't pay off. When they add like a graphic style, that can last so much longer, you see now.
An art style is more important than graphics, guys. It lasts longer.
PSA.
And also, speaking into a mic only works when you keep it by your mouth. PSA.
Okay.
Yeah, so I left some of my honorable mentions for this episode.
It is really so much. Like, I'm going through the list and there's so much that I'm also just going.
Yep. You can literally go through the list and do like one on every game.
100%, yeah. So another one of my honorable mentions is Doom 3.
I didn't like it.
Look, I loved it at the time, but I've gone back to it recently and it's like, yeah, I can see why this wasn't that loved.
I made the mistake of playing it after I played Doom 2016.
Oh, okay.
And it's just like, no, this is not a good game.
There's some styles that you can't go back on.
No. So I loved, because at the time my PC couldn't handle Doom 3. So the same internet cafe that my cousin and I used to go play Grand Theft Auto Vice City at, we would then also go and play Doom 3 at.
Nice.
But this time we couldn't copy it because we couldn't play it at home.
No. So I just remember being blown away by the graphics at the time and the fact that it felt scarier and darker.
It was more survival.
It was much more, yeah. And yeah, I'm not going to talk too much about it, but I really, really loved it at the time. And I have gone back to it recently and it's been, okay.
You does know it hold up?
No, it doesn't really hold up. Like, I also think I played it because I played it on console because it's available now on like Game Pass because of Xbox's partnership with them. But it's still, to me, a PC game.
Yeah.
Doom 3. Like, the other, Doom 2016 and Eternal are console games for me. Like,
yeah, they're optimized for, like, every platform, basically.
Whereas Doom 3 is, like, more like a slow computer game. You have your torch. That's what I hated about the game. Now, the torch,
yes.
But if you see the guy, then you have to switch to your gun, and then you're in the dark kind of thing. And then later on, there came a mod where you could put the torch on top of your gun.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering why.
It was like so they went for like a harder type of vibe where it was like, you kind of had to memorize and shoot. Like, the idea was there, but it wasn't well implemented.
No. So I really loved it at the time, but it's one of those games that I'll just keep in that time period and maybe won't revisit. Another honorable mention is, and I think, just hang on a second. No one's talking about Underground 2, right?
No.
That's you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was.
That's no, because that's an honorable mention. That's crazy. Need for Speed Underground 2 is still just an honorable mention. Sorry. Underground 2. Sorry.
Yeah, that's how much this year dropped. Sorry.
You need to clarify which Underground 2.
Yeah, true. So Need for Speed Underground 2, also an honorable mention. I literally bought this the other day. I'm holding the PC copy in my hands right now for 10 rand the other day.
Nice. Are the discs in there?
The discs are in there. I checked, And just look at the cover. Like, we'll clip this. Obviously, you'll see it in a clip later on. But like, this is the days where PC covers were cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it's also
it got
like,
you hyped for a game. Yeah. Like,
it's also like got Fast, Need for Speed, a Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
They knew
the market. Yeah. They knew they're tapping into.
It took what made Underground 1 great, and it just improved on it. And now there was like the free roaming, driving around the city. And I felt like the modifications were better on your cars. And this was the game that introduced SUVs as well. Do you remember that? You
could rent Cadillac.
SUVs. You could rent the Cadillac Escalade. And then there was a Hummer H2, I think, in there as well. And I remember getting to a point in this game where I had no more missions, right? I'm like, I can't progress, right? And then I realized, shit, there's these SUV races. I don't have an SUV, so I had to go buy an SUV, mod it up.
So you basically found a whole new game in the game.
Yeah, and then only then did the later story missions unlock. So it felt like a really cool game. I went back maybe 2 years ago and replayed it, and it's still actually
fun.
It's fun, you know what I mean? Like, the
if you play on PC.
If you play it on PC, yeah.
Yeah, the console.
I tried it on PS2.
It's a bit rough.
The junk thing is they don't load the whole race. You're busy in a sprint race and you take a corner and it pauses to load.
Yeah, that's
and it loads freak long. And then I just put the PlayStation off. Yeah. I was like,
nowadays we just ask what's loading.
Exactly.
Are there emulators for the phone for PS2 already?
Yes.
I think there are. Yes.
You can play the game on your phone and it will be quick, easy.
And then also, as was commonplace for all EA games at the time, the soundtrack was just a banger. Yes. Like
Snoop Dogg and the Doors.
Riders on the Storm.
Fire. That's still on my phone.
Listen, like music and games. This era.
You also know a game is good when you can go on Spotify now and search a playlist. Yep. And you'll find full playlists and each citizen. Oh,
and it's just, it's still good. It's still pumping.
Yeah. And then, my final honorable mention before I get to my game of the year is Second Sight. And I don't think this is a game a lot of people remember or knew about. Like,
I don't know it.
Yeah. So this
I've only ever seen this in stores and like secondhand stores and stuff. I've never seen anything of this game.
So I think I told you in one of the previous episodes, when I bought my PS2, I bought it from someone who worked at Sturkey Nickel.
Yeah.
And they sold me the PS2 with a whole bunch of games, a whole bunch of the promotional copies. So it didn't come in like the covers like this. It was just like in
a crystal case.
Crystal cases with So I saw Second Sight and I'm like, well, let me pop it in. Let me just see what it's about. And it was also one of those games where I started it and I finished it. Like I didn't play any other games in between. And basically, it's like a third person shooter game, where it's like you wake up as this guy who he has no memory of why he wakes up in this hospital, and starts off as like a bit of a stealth mission. You have to escape the hospital, but then you get attacked or something, and then you realize you've got like telekinetic powers. So the basis of the game is it's a shooter. You get a gun or two guns or whatever. But you actually have to use your telekinetic powers to like push people away or open doors or force things open. And then as the game progresses, you unlock more and more telekinetic powers. I think there's one, I can't remember exactly now, but there's one you can control like your enemies to like shoot at each other. There's telekinetic powers. You can lift heavy objects. It's really, really cool. And it's made by the people that made Time Splitters.
I was going to say so.
Yeah, Free Radical. And it's just, I played it again relatively recently, but on PS2. And once again, then it doesn't hold up as you remember.
I saw the graphics on it and I'm like,
But yeah, it says, a mind-blowing mix of stealth, gunplay, and devastating psychic powers. And that's a
nice combo because there were games after that also brought up basically guns and psychic at the same time.
Yeah, like Bioshock I think Bioshock's the one I'm thinking of mainly. Yeah. Like,
is that the game where you can see through your enemy's eyes?
No, that's Siren.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a harder game.
Yeah.
Also, was Free Radicals a band? Who's that side? Don't forget.
New Radicals.
Okay. Yeah. Wrong Radicals. Yeah. They're not free, but no. They are new.
Let's discuss Muslim Radicals. Are there no remasters for that game?
No, this is one of those games that were just kind of lost. Like those who know. And then if you've never heard of it, you're like, what the hell? What are you talking about? But like, I think this was released on PC as well. I might be mistaken. So
there's a mod for it somewhere.
Yeah, there must be. But if you can get a copy of it, try it out. It's fun.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
If you're willing to look past like that PS2 era.
Exactly.
Have any of Free Radicals games been remastered?
No. So basically they became Deep Silver recently, but then the Embracer Group, like actually in November, closed them down. So like there's no chance of...
You're not getting any of it.
No. I hate Embracer.
That's why it's good that we have physical copies. You just got a physical copy of Time Splitters 2. Yeah. I've got this physical copy because like they're gone.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Somebody has to like either buy the IP or something. Yeah. But it's sad because like these are very much like beloved.
Yeah.
Well, they must just be remade. Like
Embracer.
I'll just steal the idea and then make it.
It's 100 rand at the moment on Steam if you want to buy it.
Oh, great.
For PC.
Yeah.
So that's
cool. I remember it being a relatively long game as well. So like for $100, that's a good price. Yeah. But game of the year, and I think Saeed, you and I, either of us could have chosen this, and that's Tony Hawk's Underground 2.
Sure.
Like,
what a game. This is probably my favorite Tony Hawk's game.
It is mine, definitely.
It's not mine.
What is yours?
American Wasteland, always.
It was one of those games where I had played Underground 1, and I mentioned it in the couple of weeks ago. Like, I liked Underground 1, but like, I don't look back at it fondly. You know what I mean? Like, I enjoyed it at the time, but I'm not like, I don't need to go back and play it.
Yeah.
But Underground 2, I go back and play it at least once a year. It's like, nice. It's just that fun. It's like, it's more, whereas Underground 1 was like more dark and gritty and like real. Underground 2 is wacky and colorful and stupid. And like,
it embraces like that Jackass.
Exactly.
You're perfect,
like,
now.
Fully. Like, it just goes like, we don't need to be serious.
No, exactly.
We can just go like over the top, and it's all the better for it.
100%. And like you said, Saeed, like in the Jackass episode, this was your introduction to Jackass.
Yeah, that was the first time I heard about Jackass.
Wow. Yeah.
I didn't know who they were, and that was my first.
And for me, I was like,
my mind is like fizzing at the moment, because while they did exist at the same time in the same culture, I didn't learn them from each other.
Yeah.
Like, I learned them independently. I remember getting happy seeing Tony Hawk in Jackass and like seeing Bam skate also in Jackass episodes. And that's dope.
So like, if you had created a skater in Underground 1 and you had it saved on the memory card, you put in Underground 2, that created skaters in Underground 2 already.
Dope, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yes. And because it's a continuation of the story. So it's your same guy from Underground 1.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Because Underground 2 starts with you skating in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Which was one of the big levels in Underground 1. And then the Jackass crew come and kidnap you. So it's literally a continuation of the story from Underground 1.
Oh, so I only played Underground 1 for the first time properly like last year.
Yeah, okay.
Because I never had it. And like, I never played it. I remember playing it in like game there, like a kiosk.
Yeah.
And I played like the first 10 minutes, and then I got stuck. Because I was, you're supposed to climb like a...
Oh, yes.
And I was like, why is this in Tony Hawk's?
Yeah.
And then I got stuck, and then I'd never played that game again until like last year.
But no, I mean...
It also introduced that free roaming element to the levels, and I think that made it just more interesting.
And not only you're not only skating as your creator skater, you then in each level you will unlock two or three extra skaters. So for example, the one level, and I didn't really like playing as him, but like in the Barcelona level, I remember you unlock Steve-O. He's riding a mechanical bull.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's a guy on a Segway,
exactly. Yes. That was in the first level.
And the wheelchair.
Yes. And then you could also like unlock Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah. And you the tagger. And you're the tagger guy also, no?
Like, yes, exactly.
Like, it was so cool that just gave you so many people that you could play with.
And also, I just love that you get dropped in a level and it's just like you have all of these things you need to do. Go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do whatever you want.
Exactly. And the levels weren't, some of them weren't very big. If I think back to the first level of Underground 2, which is like Washington or something like that. And it's a very small level, but there's so much to do. And then also, especially you unlock the guy on the Segway, for example, then he has missions that only he can do. And then George Washington has stuff only he can do. And it's really, really cool. And the whole game is like that. All with this overarching story of stupidity. Like,
So what was the story then?
It's like Bam Margera and Tony Hawk each have a team in the game. And then you get recruited on Bam's team, I think, right?
World Destruction Tour.
World Destruction Tour.
And at the end of each level, you like have this thing that you film that where you destroy a part of that city or town or whatever.
And there's Eric Sparrow, who is one of the most hated villains in gaming of all time. He's just that douche.
He was the main villain of Underground 1. But then he also goes on the World Destruction Tour with you. But then he's like, he's still just a douchebag throughout.
I didn't get any of that because I never played one.
But they
take the piss out of that. Like, Bam Margera shoots him in the dick and with a tomato gun or something like that. And
classic Jackass.
Yeah, exactly.
It felt very like that marriage of like Jackass and skating that was like bound to happen.
Exactly.
And it was like peak culture at the time.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
But you know what I still really love about that game and what makes it so replayable is that it has classic mode as well. And classic mode basically takes it back to what Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1, 2, and 3 were.
Oh.
But within the same levels, but it gives you collect skate, collect combo, yeah. High score, pro score, whatever. So it's basically two games in one, which I think is such a really cool thing. Like you play the story mode and then
you can play
the classics mode as well. And then you get your stats and you up your stats just like you could in the other games. It's really, really cool. So it's two games in one. And there's some classic levels. So like I think in Underground 2, you can play in the warehouse, for example, from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1.
Mm. Yeah.
Did they get the bike in there? Was there anyone with a bike?
I don't think, now that I'm
Because American Wasteland, they made a big thing of BMXs being in there.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
So that wasn't in there. Yeah, but the game also had an amazing soundtrack. Like,
it did.
Because I remember like it opens with the doors, but you're going through to the other side.
Yeah.
And then there's also like the Ramones on there, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Jimmy Eat World, Joy Division. That was the first time I ever heard them, and they're still one of my favorites. And Disturbed, even like Frank Sinatra's on there.
Yes.
Like that's like so like out of nowhere, and like Faith No More, Metallica. Like, yeah.
It's like what was
the first game?
That Sugar Hill Gang also. Rapper's Delight. That's so lekker. Like,
the thing of how many, like, can you imagine of the first bands to be approached to go, yo, we want to use your song for a game. Then they were probably also hated and being seen as like sellouts and whatever. Then it becoming the best way to get music out there is to get on a game.
It was the beginning of like vinyl culture. Yeah. Think about it. Like, that's what people were doing. Like, they were putting their tracks on games. People were listening to it, looking for it.
It's also wild that we never... I can remember with the previous Tony Hawk's that... Because the... How long was that? Around 2 minutes?
I think it was 2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
So you'd never hear the full song. So when you heard the song outside, you'd go like, what is this? You just skip the end of the song because like, I don't know this. Just go to another Tony Hawk's.
Yeah, man, but...
What just a game.
Still like a game I revisit, and even I've revisited on PS2 and it looks shit, but it runs good. It runs nicely and it feels smooth still, and it's fun and it's juvenile and it's funny, and I'll always love this game. I really will.
It'll have a special place in your heart.
Always.
Yes.
So guys, like, that's the end. I've done mine. I think we've all done ours.
Yes.
O4 is done for now. We could do more if we wanted to. But
tell us your top 5.
Yeah.
Let's say top 5 for 2004.
Yeah.
Okay. This is real part that will cut to the TikTok clips as well. Guys, go through the list for 2004 and give us your top 5 games for 2004. Go do some homework. The list is it's insane.
That's there.
Yeah. It's like still, I think we had this debate at the end of last year, which is the best year in gaming. This to me is mine.
It's definitely up there.
I can't remember if I landed on this one or 2007 as my favorite, but this one is definitely...
It's up there.
I didn't learn to read in 2007. It wasn't great.
I'm still struggling.
Is it? Do you have additional questions?
We don't have questions for today. We'll be answering more questions next week.
So ask us more questions. You can ask in the comments. Or
when we get the chance to answer.
Yeah.
I'm Yasin Bonds.
I'm Saeed.
I'm Shadley Desai.
I'm Brad.
This is the Coffee and Drella podcast.
Listen to all our stuff, please.
Bye.
It's the 2004 of podcasts.